Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Mile High Hoops with Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Zach Bye, and we are cramming in draft season as the NBA draft is just, depending on where you're, when you're listening to this, it's about a 35 hours from now, something like that, as myself and Harrison Wind of DNVR sit down to talk about some of the prospects here with this draft. But before we do that, there's a couple names that we're going to emphasize today. Before we get to that, what did you personally make of the deal with Jrue Holiday going to the Milwaukee Bucks in exchange for a king's ransom headed to New Orleans?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Zach. The Jrue Holiday trade, he went for way more than I was expecting. And talking to people with the Nuggets, way more than they were expecting, too. It was a pretty surprising to them and kind of shocking that kind of Milwaukee got into this thing and paid what they did. They kind of paid like an Anthony Davis type price for Jrue Holiday. But I mean, if you're the Bucks, you got to do it, right? This trade is about keeping Giannis in Milwaukee. And it seems like this trade, along with them getting Bogdanovich, might be enough to get him to sign that extension. So there's probably not a price that's too much for them, honestly, if they're going to keep Giannis there because of it. From the Nuggets perspective, that would have been too much for them to give up, in my opinion, for Holiday. It hurts, though, because I was talking about this on the DNVR Nuggets podcast today. I don't think there's a guy that's become available of Holiday's caliber. And we can even go back to, like, the Jimmy Butlers of the world, the Kyrie Irvings of the world. I don't think there's a guy of that caliber that would have fit better than Holiday would have with Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr., that trio. So that really hurts for me.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. It is, it's an impactful move that, you know, does have an impact on the NBA championship title picture. I don't think that's overstating it at all. Jrue Holiday is a terrific player. He's one of the best defenders in all of the NBA. He's a definition of a two-way guy. Offensively, you know what you're going to get to. Look, it's an opportunity loss for the Nuggets, but I don't think one that I'm with you. I wouldn't have been able to, with a clear mind, go that far down the road when you're talking about multiple starters and three first-round picks. I think that it's important for Nuggets fans to remember that these are not the same situations, Milwaukee and Denver. They are totally different, although they're both trying to win a championship and are in a championship window. And I think that's fair to say about Denver, certainly as about Milwaukee, is that like they have this massive, massive, maybe the most important domino in the history of their organization, or at least in the last, I don't know, three or four decades, with the decision from Giannis. And like for Milwaukee, like for what wasn't best for Denver might be best for Milwaukee because those situations are so different. And if Milwaukee goes and wins a championship and or Giannis re-signs, you don't apologize for that, right? It's just I kind of shook my head. I wish it was going to go down, but it didn't. And now the Denver Nuggets need to figure out a different path to get to that same destination that they wanted with Jrue. Just do it a different way. Do you have another thought you want to share there?
Yeah, I was just going to follow that up with one source put it to me this way. Milwaukee's backs were against the wall. The Nuggets weren't. It was more of a want situation for the Nuggets, and it was kind of a need situation for the Bucks. Like, if the Bucks don't improve that roster, Giannis is walking. Who knows what the future of that franchise is like. But the fact that Denver didn't make the deal – Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are still under contract for the next 4 years. The window for Denver is still going to be wide open for a while.
Yeah, and with a wild card, an MPJ that's already in-house. I mean, that is the number one A emphasis, I think, along with trying to win a title, is finding out if you have, potentially the best homegrown talent you've ever drafted. or in the conversation with some of those other guys. So, yeah, it just didn't work out, and I'm kind of at peace with it not working out, you know, to be totally honest with you, after I saw the compensation. All right, Harrison, let's talk a little NBA draft here. Tomorrow night, the Denver Nuggets picking at number 22. There's a list of guys here, and I hope we get to all of them, that you have really taken a deep dive into. The first player that I want to bring up is, and this is the first time I've ever actually said his name into a microphone, Alexej Pokusevski, or Poku. He is a 7-foot young man. I think he's just 18 years old, just about 200 pounds. He's coming from Greece. I'll just give you my kind of footnotes and kind of set the stage for you to go a little bit deeper. He played in the B League. In Greece, right? I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, in Greece.
Yeah, he played in that second league, which isn't, you know, the highest level of basketball. If you cut on the highlights, you're going to see, like, a lot of the small gym highlights that you get accustomed to during this process with these foreign players. In that league, he averaged 8 points a game, averaged a couple blocks a game. He did shoot 32% from three. Looks like a natural shooter. He is one of the more intriguing players in this draft, given the size and his skill set. He compete, and it sounds so simple, but you know, if you were to say, "Hey, who is this guy? Who is Poku?" in a sentence, I'd say he's a 7-footer who can pass, dribble, and shoot. He came on the scene during the 2018 Under-17 World Championships in Argentina, where he played for Serbia. I think he's got a two-way passport there, Serbia and Greece. Played with Serbia, ended up leading the event with 3 blocks per game. That's sort of just the outlines of who this guy is. Let our listeners know what you know.
Yeah, Pokusevski is super intriguing. He's the youngest prospect in the draft at 18 years old. And he's a guy who I think could honestly go like 10th overall. I could see a team trading up for him as high as 10th. And then, you know, I don't think he gets past Denver at 22. I think the Nuggets like him, but I don't know if he's going to last that long just because he's so intriguing and the upside is so crazy. Like you mentioned, he played in the Greece second league. And if you go and watch these highlights, it seems like a lot of the guys he's playing against like sell insurance during the day and then
right.
just come to the gym and hoop at night. Like,
right.
It's really that kind of league, but the talent is just like incredible with this kid. Like you kind of mentioned, he passes, he dribbles, he has the floor vision of a guard, but he's 7 foot, and he's also rail thin. That's kind of the big downside with him immediately. It's going to take a while for this kid to contribute at the NBA level, and he's had a lot of muscle, but it seems like he's going to be able to shoot it. He's a hell of an athlete. Like, he could be dynamic in transition. Like I mentioned, he can dribble, pass, finish, shoot. It seems like he could kind of be one of those unicorns, you know, just one of those 7-footers that does it all. That being said, the risk-reward potential with him is crazy. I think he could be a guy who's a real factor at the next level, or he just might be out of the league in like 5 years. That's how volatile I think he could be.
Right.
But he's probably one of the more like intriguing prospects with just the biggest amount of question marks around him for sure.
Yeah, and I think he's one of these guys, and just doing some reading on him last night, is that, you know, this is a guy, and this story is, you know, familiar to basketball fans, where you grow up as a guard. You know, and then you hit this incredible growth spurt, and now you're 7 foot, but you still lived your life as a guard, you know, dribbling and shooting, and you're not, you know, growing up doing post drills anymore. So yeah, I think he's, you know, what you just hit on there, Harrison, like when I'm watching him, you know, watching these small gym highlights in the, you know,
yeah,
in the second league in Greece, I'm going, okay, like, yeah, I see an outline of something that could be coming. And if his life is dedicated to this, and we've seen how the Denver Nuggets have nurtured talent, he doesn't need to play right now, so he's not in that scenario. It's like, man, is this guy in 4 years going to be, you know, Tony Kukoc, you know, Or is he going to be like so many of these other guys that have come overseas through the years, you know, flushed out of the league? You just don't know. But I'll say this, at 22, if he's there, you can take that kind of gamble at 22, right?
Oh, for sure, especially if you're the Nuggets, like you said, who don't need somebody to come in and contribute right away, and they could just put him on their draft and develop timeline. That's worked out really well for some guys. It's just like the tools are just there. You just don't know, like, how soon they're going to show up at the NBA level. Like, guys that are 7 foot who can drive into lane and then just dump off a left-handed shovel pass to a cutter, like, those guys don't come around every day.
Right.
And just the fact that he's 7 foot and as young as he is, and he seems like a wing to me. Like, he doesn't seem like a center. He seems like a wing that could kind of be in the mold of, like, a Davis Bertans, maybe, like, a guy who comes off screens, fires threes, maybe with a little more, like, playmaking ability than a Bertans. Just the potential. The potential is just what you're really attracted to with him.
Is there a comp that you saw or came up with yourself in the draft process that you liked?
I was thinking about Bertans, like I just said, a guy who can kind of come off screens, shoot it, has a lot of height to him. Like, Bertans is like 6'8", 6'9".
Yep.
Pokuševski's a little taller, but just with some more creation ability. Another comp I was thinking about was kind of like Lamar Odom.
Mm.
I just remember how Lamar Odom used to kind of be that point forward for the Lakers.
Yep.
And obviously, Pokuševski has a long way to go, but his vision at 7 feet, how he can handle the ball for a guy his size, his passing, just how he sees the floor, I think he could have that point forward kind of mentality also.
Interesting Lamar Odom reference there. I did see one that I, after watching him, I said, okay, I see why you went there. It was a larger Mike Dunleavy Jr. Talking about mm-hmm. coming off screens and sort of the more slight frame that he kind of worked into. But you remember him at Duke? I mean, he was kind of a rail, but able to come off screens, high basketball IQ and acumen for the game, good feel for it. So I saw that one. I said, okay, I could see where you're going with that one. Let's shift gears here to Josh Green, who is a 6'6 shooting guard out of Arizona. He was a one-and-done for the Wildcats. He native land is Australia, ended up at IMG Academy. What can you tell us about Josh Green?
Yeah, Josh Green is super intriguing. I feel like he might be the pick for Denver if he's there at 22 as well. That's the big thing with a bunch of these guys. Are they going to last to 22? But he just has the makeup and looks of a guy who's going to be a solid role player in the league. I don't know if he has star potential or even all-star potential, but I just think he's going to be a really solid role player. 6'6", 19-year-old, like you mentioned, one and done, native of Australia. And Josh Green is super built. He's really strong.
Yeah.
He's got a frame that's like well beyond what a 19-year-old should have. I actually read that he was like a prodigy in Australian rules football.
Really?
And just looking at his body, I can kind of see it. He's just so built for somebody that's 19. So defensive upside is a big thing with him. At 6'6", with a 6'10 wingspan, I feel like he's going to be able to guard a lot of perimeter players, similar to how Gary Harris does, but Green is bigger.
Right.
He's thicker and he's longer as well. So he projects as a really strong on-ball defender. Offensively, he doesn't have like the one-on-one game. He's not going to like break his defender down off the dribble. That stuff could come, but I think immediately he's going to be your classic 3-and-D guy. A really good spot up shooter. I think he can get to that in the NBA. And he's also like a high IQ cutter and guy who can just fit into his offense. He knows his role. I think we saw that with him at Arizona last year. And I think that's a really important skill if you're a role player, especially with the Nuggets. Knowing your role is so important to me.
Yeah, no doubt. I love that. I love that detail there because, first of all, there's a couple things I want to react to that you just said. One, the wingspan. When you watch Josh Green, and I remember him watching him during the season and being impressed when they were playing games, but then when you actually go back and you cut on the tape and you look at it, this dude plucks dudes. Like, he plucks mm-hmm. dudes. His arms are so long, and he has a good defensive IQ. He led Arizona in steals, and so often you see him plucking dudes in the half court, and I've liked what I've seen from him in transition. And you made a really good point about his role at Arizona. He was not like, I guess I'll use an extreme example like Anthony Edwards, where the ball just stops and he's making, I'm more talented than you. I'm more shifty than you. So I'm going to thrive in this spot while, eight other guys watch. That's not who Josh Green is. He is a knockdown guy. He plays well off the ball, good athlete, not a great athlete in terms of NBA guys, but a good athlete. He shot 36% from three. And I think, I don't know if he's going to be there. But, we're just talking about a guy like Pokuševski. I'm not sure who that guy is going to be. Josh Green, it feels like, is going to play 12 years in the NBA. Like, he is just going to thrive. And I don't know if that's eventually 14 to 16 points a game, or I don't know if that's 8 points a game. I'm not sure. But I'm pretty confident, and you talked about his frame. I'm pretty confident looking at this kid, he's less of a boomer bust guy than someone like Pokuševski. Do you agree with that?
I do, which is crazy because he's only 19, Josh Green. And he just seems so projectable, though. And I think that's something that a team like the Nuggets, who's probably, okay just taking a guy who's going to project as a role player, that's important to them. Like a 6'6 guard who should be able to shoot it and play defense, that guy's going to play, like you said, 10 years in the league. And his makeup just seems like it'd be perfect to slot alongside three elite scorers in Denver, in Jokic, Murray, and Michael Porter Jr. You need a guy to fill in those gaps. You need a guy to cut, to play off the ball, to guard the best opposing perimeter scorer and let Jamal Murray be on kind of the weaker guy in the other backcourt. Those guys are so important on contending teams. I think he could be that guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. Do you think he'll be there at 22?
Every mock draft you look at, it seems like he's getting taken in like the 19 to 21 range. So I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I've seen him mocked anywhere from like middle of the first round to like mid-20s. But like you said, like I see him going 18, 19. What do you think of the comp for him? I saw Kelly Oubre, which I thought was interesting.
I like Kelly Oubre. I put Josh Richardson down here. A strong defender, role player. I think he could be a better shooter than Richardson is, but just kind of a guy who fills in the gaps, does a little bit of everything.
All right, let's shift gears here once again. I'm going to be fascinated if Josh Green's there and they don't take him. Well, I shouldn't say fascinated, but man, that seems like a really good fit. Let's shift gears here. Jalen Smith, I was watching him this morning, Harrison, 6'10", 220 pounds, out of Maryland, stayed there for a second year, probably could have left after his freshman year. But he averaged 16-11 as a sophomore after he was 12-7 as a freshman. Highly touted, coming out of high school. This is a guy who's mentioned he's 6'10", but 7'2 wingspan. And maybe my favorite part about taking a dive into Jalen Smith is the improvement year over year. Speak to Jalen Smith and what you've discovered about that young man.
I really like Jalen Smith. I think he could be the next Miles Turner, like Miles Turner 2.0. He seems like a very similar player to me, but potentially with like more shot blocking. He was a really good rim protector at Maryland, 2.4 blocks per game. And that's one of three just really translatable skills for me that I think he's going to carry over into the NBA. And it's like three really important skills for big men. The ability to shoot the three. I think he's going to be able to hit threes in the NBA. Rebounding. He averaged 10.5 rebounds per game last year, 3.2 offensive rebounds. And the third one, shot blocking. Like I just said, if you have those three skills as a young big man, you're going to find a place in this league. Now, he's not like the playmaking type center that we're used to in Denver. He's not the best passer. He's not the best, creator on the ball, but I feel like he could be a really good role player here. Again, just somebody who's going to knock down threes, rebound, and block shots kind of like Josh Green, I just think he's got skills that are super projectable to the NBA.
Yeah, and so much of this, Harrison, is about unique fit to the Nuggets. Like, yeah, they're going to go best player available, but they don't need a hero. Like, they really mm-hmm. don't. They have an MVP candidate. They have Jamal Murray. Hopefully, MPJ, you know, keeps on trending in the direction that we think he can. Jalen Smith is a really unique name, man. And I talked about the improvement at the outset there year over year. This dude went from shooting 27% from three as a freshman to 37% as a sophomore. That's 10% improvement year over year for a guy who's not like taking 1 3 every four games, like, you know, decent sample size there. And you look at the free throw percentage, 75%. It's always a pretty good indicator of where you're at from just a, you know, a feel standpoint, shooting the basketball. And look, I like this guy. Good defender. That's a name. Now where do you think he will go?
Oh, I've seen him all over the first round. Anywhere from late teens to late 20s. So I think there's a chance he could be there when Denver does pick. My biggest worry about him is, he's a really good shot blocker, but defending in space, it seems like it could be a problem for him. So I don't know if he could play the four next to Nikola Jokic if we get to that point. But like you said, if you're just drafting for talent, for best player available, he could be the guy.
All right, let's talk about Isaiah Stewart out of Washington, 6'9", 250. This is a kid, Harrison, that I've been following since he was a young teenager. I'm from upstate New York, and there is a powerhouse program, an AAU program, called the Albany City Rocks, where even previous draft pick for the Nuggets, Tyler Lydon, played on a handful of years back. Kevin Herter from the Atlanta Hawks, a host of guys that end up in the Syracuse program. There's a pipeline there. But now with Mike Hopkins moving from Syracuse to the University of Washington, he was tapping into that City Rocks team. Both Isaiah Stewart and Hamir Wright, one of his mates there, starting mates at Washington, were both a part of that program. So I mentioned that because I've been watching this kid for a while. He's from Rochester, New York, not too far from where I grew up. I really like this kid's game. I think he's going to be there at 22. I think with this draft, it's so random. But I love the intensity and the motor of this kid. I think he's got an NBA body. What do you make of Isaiah Stewart?
Yeah, I agree. Out of all the guys we've hit on so far, I think he's got the best chance to be there at 22. And his motor, like you put it, this kid just plays so hard. He hustles up and down the floor. He'll beat his man down the floor even though he's 250 pounds. He's an absolute load inside. He'll battle on the glass. He'll crash both the offensive and defensive glass hard. He'll get on the floor for loose balls. He can kind of be like any team's garbage man, just kind of doing the work that nobody else wants to do. And just having that tough-minded, physical guy inside, I kind of feel like that's something the Nuggets have lacked a little bit, especially at the center spot over the last couple of years. So I feel like he could mesh really well with what Denver's already got going on in the front court. But great size. He's not the tallest guy.
Nope.
He's only 6'9", but he has a 7'4 wingspan. And 250 pounds. So, like I said, he's like an absolute brick in the post. Great motor on both ends. Didn't really shoot the three in college, but just kind of looking at his shot mechanics, I think he can eventually get there. And then he's got a soft touch at the rim, too. So I'm not sure if he has the upside of a Jalen Smith or a couple of the other guys we've hit on, but I think he could be like an 8 to 10 year player who's just like a premier backup.
Yeah, and again, the Nuggets, going back, they're not looking for a savior. Like, if you can be a, you know, cornerstones come in all shapes and sizes. They really do. And I think that what Isaiah Stewart lacks in height, or even, he's not even some absurd athlete either. To say he's an energy big, I think, is an understatement. I love how hard Isaiah Stewart plays, and it's amazing how much you can make up for when you're on 10 all the time. And by the way, you know, you mentioned, yeah, he's not known as some like, you know, 3-point shooter or, you know, we're talking about Jalen Smith there for a second ago, 37% from three. But he's 77% from the line though, you know? So mm-hmm. again, you know, when you're talking about building blocks and, you know, familiarity, maybe that can be expanded through the years, with a lot of hard work, maybe like, you know, Jeremy Grant did, you know, at one point early in his career, he's shooting like 24% from three. But, you mm-hmm. know, with time, I loved your point too, Harrison, about like, yeah, he may not have the ceiling of these guys, but I really like his floor. I do. So, all right, let's shift gears from Isaiah Stewart to RJ Hampton. What do we need to know about RJ Hampton and why would he potentially be a good fit for Denver?
I think Hampton's another high upside play, a guy who's probably not going to contribute next season, but could be a factor down the road. I think he's one of the few guys in like the teens of this draft who has all-star potential, but it's probably going to take him a while to get there. The first thing about RJ Hampton is he's just like an unbelievable athlete. He's like a Zach LaVine type athlete. He reminds me a lot of him. An incredibly quick first step. Like he gets the ball, puts it on the floor once, and he's already at the basket. He's got an unbelievable first step. And like I mentioned, just a really good athlete, good body control at the rim. I think he's got a decent feel for the game. Now, he's super raw. He was not a good three-point shooter last year in Australia where he played. He's a former top recruit here, but he played in Australia last year. Did not shoot the ball from three well. Not great from the line either. Just really needs to refine his game. But I think it's an upside play. It's funny. He's been working with Mike Miller, former Nugget and former coach at University of Memphis.
Yep.
He's been working with Mike Miller over the summer or over the offseason in the pre-draft process on his shot. If there's anyone that can teach a guy to shoot, maybe it's Mike Miller.
Right.
So I'd like his upside. He's a bit of a project, but I think he's intriguing because of his potential.
At 22 is because I see him going like anywhere from I've seen him, you know, at like 13-14. Could he fall to Denver, do you think?
I think under some scenarios he could, but I think he is a guy that Denver likes. So he's another one that I just keep an eye on. Probably likely to go in that early 20s or late teens range, but I think the Nuggets would be happy scooping him up.
All right. And finally, let's talk about Precious. What do we need to know about Precious Achiuwa? Am I saying that name right?
Yeah, I think you are. Precious Achiuwa out of Memphis. Kind of like I was saying with Isaiah Stewart, Precious Achiuwa just like has a really good motor, plays super hard. He's a really physical player. He's quick for his size. He's 6'9", 225, so he's got like an NBA body. But I think he's quick. I think he could have the potential to like switch on to a smaller guard and defend. And, you know, a lot of scouts that you talk to think he could develop into a rim protector as well. He's just like a really good athlete at his size. He should be like a freight train in transition, should be an effective role man. So another guy that could add some just physicality and toughness to the Nuggets front line, I think.
And athleticism. I mean, that dude can take off. I've seen a comp for Gerald Wallace, which, you know, older NBA fan, not too much older, will remember, turned into a, you know, rock solid role player, never like some star, but, you know, could take off on you. Great wingspan. That's an interesting one. That kid's from the Bronx. He's young. He's 21 years old. I guess that's not too young for the draft process. But good size, good athleticism. That's an intriguing one. Let me ask you this, Harrison. Which of these guys that you've talked about or studied here in this process is your absolute favorite for the Nuggets specifically?
I think if you look at Josh Green, he could be your long-term Gary Harris replacement. I just think he has a combination of size and just like a foundation of defense and three-point shooting and high IQ play that I think you look for to put around a potential big three of Jokic, Murray, and Michael Porter Jr. He just seems like the quintessential role player to me that contending NBA teams have. So he'd be at the top of my list. And I think Precious would be at the top of my list as well. Like you said, his athleticism, the physicality, the defensive upside, I think is something people really like about him. And he's just a huge body, 6'9", 225 with a 7'2 wingspan. I think he's somebody that the Nuggets would be really excited about also.
Harrison, I want to, before we let you go here, the top of the draft, LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman. Again, you know, this process in general is so unscientific. But this year specifically, I mean, the randomness of it all, I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of draft night, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, but at the end of draft night, we look back at these mock drafts like comically. but how do you think it falls at the very top? And who, and if you were the GM, if you were the general manager at the very top, who would you be grabbing there? LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, or James Wiseman?
I'd be taking LaMelo Ball. I think he's the best player in the draft. I think he's got the most upside out of those top guys. So that's who I would take number one. And it's not a pick that I feel totally confident in making, but if I was sitting at number one, if I couldn't trade out of it, I would take LaMelo Ball. Now, he's not the perfect fit in Minnesota next to D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
And D'Angelo Russell is like a player that Minnesota front office pursued and pursued and pursued until they finally got him. And like he's the guy they want to pair with Karl Towns all along. So that's not a natural fit. So I bet they take Anthony Edwards. But I think the best prospect in the draft, LaMelo.
Well, I think LaMelo is going to go number one. I do. Anthony Edwards scares me, man. He does.
Scares me too.
Dude, I like what I see when he's at the peak of his powers. Unfortunately, like the idea of picking at number one, it's you've been bad, right? Like you're there because traditionally, you know, outside of a scenario like the Warriors where their situation's kind of unique, but you earn the right to be the number one pick and you want to turn things around and become a winner. Anthony Edwards has never been a winner. And that scares the hell out of me. Like, and I know he's got the comparisons to Donovan Mitchell or Victor Oladipo. I just don't know if he's Dion Waiters. And I know people will laugh at that, but because he's more talented than Dion Waiters. But this is a guy who was never above 500 in high school. He was never above 500 on the AAU circuit. He was never above 500 at Georgia. And I think when you're talking about stepping into a lion's den that is the NBA, if you have never shown an ability to bring the best out of everyone or just be that elite where you're going to win more games than you lose, that would scare me if I'm basing my franchise around this number one pick.
Oh, totally. The thing that scares me the most, Zach, is I don't feel like he has a great feel for the game. And if you look at like the all-star level players in this league, they've all got just like a great feel.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that means that he's going to be on like an Andrew Wiggins type trajectory where, you know, for a long time, he's just putting up empty stats on a below average team. I could see it. I would not want to invest a number one or number two overall pick in him. And I've got to think that the teams at the top of the draft are having a lot of reservations as well. And that's why everybody wants to trade out of potentially that pick.
Yeah, it's man, undisciplined on defense. Like if winning's everything to you, there's at least a semi commitment on the other end. And you know, he just scares me. His style of play reminds me of someone that would be the most popular guy at Rucker Park, but not necessarily a guy that I want to. You know, my job would be on the line behind. And last one before we go, who's your favorite player in the draft? Nuggets totally aside, and I'll give you my example. I'm not talking about the top of the draft or, you know, but if you want to go LaMelo, that's fine. But like unique to you, a guy that you love, my guy is Sadiq Bey. I absolutely love Sadiq Bey. I love his motor. I love his commitment. I love his energy. I watched every single possession of Sadiq Bey for the last 2 years because of a unique hometown connection to Villanova. And I just fell in love with this guy. That's my favorite guy in the draft. Who's your personal favorite guy in the draft that you just you're going to continue to follow? Like, man, I used to love that guy coming out.
Yeah, first off, I'm glad you said Sadiq Bey. I love Sadiq Bey as well. It doesn't seem like he's going to last to Denver, but
no,
he just has like an old man type game where he's just so high IQ, so in control, just makes like team first winning plays. I'm with you. I absolutely love Sadiq Bey. Another guy I love closer to the top of the draft is Devin Vassell.
Yep.
You know, there was that rumor that Denver was trying to trade up for a top 10 pick last week. And we know now that I think that was most likely for Drew Holiday and to get that pick and flip it to New Orleans if they were going to be in that deal. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, man, if the Nuggets traded up to like number 10 overall and got Devin Vassell, he could be like the premier 3-and-D wing to play off of Jokic, Murray, and Michael Porter Jr. His shooting, his on-ball and off-ball defense, I think is like next level. I would take Devin Vassell like fifth overall. I wouldn't be afraid to take him that high.
Yeah, he's sort of a late bloomer in terms of physically, but that wingspan though. He's 6'7", 7 foot wingspan. That is significant, and about 42% from three on a bunch of attempts at Florida State. So yeah, that's a good one, man. That's a good one. Look, I am a fan of your work and your commitment to it. Appreciate you coming on here, like all you guys over there at DNVR. Going to talk to Adam after the draft. But I appreciate you coming on here, sharing some of your digging with the listeners here, the Mile High Hoops podcast. And I know it's not the last time that we'll do this.
Yeah, for sure, Zach. I'll be happy to come on anytime. Thanks, man.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Appreciate you guys stopping by. Can't wait for the draft on Wednesday night. And you know that whatever happens on Wednesday night, we'll be talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Oh, hey, didn't realize you were listening. Well, let's make this quick. And don't touch that dial. We're Rocky Mountain Forest Products, and we're not aggressive. We're passionate. And we're not going to blast you with facts you don't need. But when you do, visit rmfp.com. Whether you're in need of fencing, decking, or siding information, it's all there. And best of all, it's free. No one likes a salesman, so we're not going to sell you. Whether you need the info or not, just remember rmfp.com. You do you, Colorado. You do you.